Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Monday, April the 22nd. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. We want to apologize for issues that were going on Friday. I know several people in the chat room said they were trying to call in, and every time they would dial the number that they would get kicked off. And then the same thing started happening to Michael and myself. We both got kicked off. And I had texted with support at Blog Talk, and they said they were having terrible issues, I guess having to do with maybe the storms and things that were going on Friday. But anyway, it was beyond anybody's control, and after about 20 minutes of trying to get in there, we gave it up. So the show didn't happen on Friday other than about the first 10 minutes of it. And so we do apologize for anybody that tried to get in and got kicked out or couldn't even get in. And we want to welcome Michael to the show today. Hi.
Hey, sweetie. I actually did get an email from Blog Talk, and they said that it had to do with hackers breaking in and disabling things in the system. So it was kind of a shame. That's, you know, we've got, what, 2.5 years now of continuous shows, and unfortunately we missed a day, first time. But we'll do our best to keep it on go, and you know we're here. We're here for eternity. This show will be here 100, 200, 500 years from now, still carrying on with teaching the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness. And if you haven't joined us for the show previously, what this work is about is restoring every mind, heart, and being on the planet to human life. And we have a simple definition of a human life. Hold the newborn child. You know exactly what a human is. If you're not living with that awesome, just monumental presence of love in your physiology, you know, most of humanity has no clue that, in fact, we are designed to experience on a physical level this. Just the word, the words don't even come close to describing the physical presence of love in your cellular structure that you are designed to experience. If you hold a newborn child, you get a sense of what that child is experiencing and the presence of love that is there. And if you look down through history, anybody who's taken time out of the insanity of their culture, the warlords, the kings, anybody who's taken time out from the pleasure-seeking, the gathering stuff, you know, you look at the Buddha, and the Buddha was a wealthy man, a king, and had everything he wanted, and he walked away to say, this isn't right, this isn't working, and came up with this process of tapping into this awesome presence of love that is always there for each and every one of us. We all come in that way. The world does its best to rip us off for it. We're looking to restore it. And the main tool for restoration was disappeared from the planet 2,000 years ago. Wonder why that would be. Well, maybe it doesn't serve the powers that be to have humans functioning as true human beings, as this awesome presence of love. It's going to be hard to get them to do a lot of things that people do in this culture if everybody has the direct experience of the physical presence of love 24/7, 365. So the tool that we're offering and that we most want to share with you, although we have many, many tools that come out of the ancient Aramaic, but the primary tool is that of forgiveness. Now, before you say, oh, forgiveness, I've tried that, that doesn't work, forget it, I invite you to stop and just listen for a moment about what forgiveness means. Again, we've been conned. Forgiveness has nothing to do with, I have pain or turmoil happening inside of me that I believe is all your fault, and therefore I should just forgive you and things will get better. That process has nothing whatsoever to do with forgiveness. That's a Greek idea that's been substituted for the original tool of forgiveness. So we get battered and beaten into all sorts of hostility, fear, grief, rage, pain, trauma, and drama, and we think that's normal. We think that's the way life is, and it's not changeable. Well, I'm here to tell you that over the years, we've worked with thousands of people, just like you, who believe that drama, trauma, hate, fear, anger, rage, guilt, pain, intimidation, manipulation was the only way to survive. That was the only way to live. And I'd offer that that's the way you kill yourself, because those energies don't belong in human physiology. The way to live is with this singular, sweet presence of love in every cell of your structure, 24/7, 365. And the way to achieve that is to remove from your structure what never belonged. So in the ancient Aramaic, as opposed to telling us to forgive our brothers for what they've done, the words that are inserted that have been missed in every translation that the Greeks made of that idea says, forgive as to your brother. As two little words make all the difference in the world when you understand them from the Aramaic. And so when you and I interact and you resonate in me something painful, instead of me talking about you as the cause of my pain, I want to find a way to go inside myself, access my pain, and remove it. The process of doing that is called forgiveness. So if you bring something up in me that's painful, I forgive as to what you've brought up in me, and I get to be free of that pain. So that's what we're working to do. If you haven't touched into those ideas before, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner of the site, upper left-hand corner, you'll see a link in red that says Start Here. Click that. It'll introduce you to the whole process. There are at least five different radio shows there that you can download. They're free MP3s that will walk you through the whole forgiveness process, a full set of instructions. The worksheet is there, written instructions, and five different radio shows that take us through how to change the content of your mind. By the way, Jeannie, did you get that show that you did where you walk somebody through a worksheet? Was that the one that somebody referred to, and did you get that one uploaded?
I haven't had a chance to do that yet.
Oh, okay. Well, there is another awesome show that Jeannie did where she walked somebody through a worksheet that will hopefully in the not-too-distant future. Being on the road is a little hectic, and Jeannie's just putting an unbelievable amount of time in school, which she gets to graduate in May. Congratulations. Just a month away, less than a month, and you'll be walking down the aisle getting your certificate. That's pretty awesome, your diploma. So those shows are there. Give them a listen. And then as you start to work with the tool, we invite you 5 days a week, an hour a day, to have a personal conversation with us. Pick up the phone and call us if there's something that doesn't make sense, if there's something you need support in. And we want to keep the process to questions and ideas around the forgiveness process and the other tools that we teach. You know, there are lots of other interesting subjects out there and lots of other interesting pieces of work out there that sometimes people want to call in and talk about. And the truth is, we've got so much to cover with this work, we want to stay on topic with what we're doing with these tools, with what we're understanding from the Aramaic. We certainly support somebody who's got another interesting topic to talk about, to start their own radio show, and, you know, we'll support you if we can, but we want to stay focused on these tools and how to integrate these tools and how we can support you in using these tools in your world. And so, Jeannie, is there anything happening in the way of questions in the chat room, or do we have anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
Well, actually, Peacemaker said that the blog talk is still acting really weird, that it's like kicking him off and things like that, but he can click the pause and then unpause on the where it's playing on the internet, and that will
right.
get it to continue. But it's like it's still hanging up.
Hmm.
So if it's there, you might pause and unpause if you're running into the same issues. And Dr. Tim is with us.
Thank you, Peacemaker, for letting us know that that's how to do it. And Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
Doing very well, thank you.
Good.
I'm sorry or apologize for not being able to be on the show on Thursday or Friday, thinking there was
an We didn't have a show Friday.
But I was at a training, and so I'm all trained up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, very intense. And so far today, one of the key themes in the work with people has been that whatever comes out of my mouth is going to tell you much more about what's going on in me than it is going to tell you about anything outside of me or anyone outside of me.
That's an interesting principle, isn't it?
It is. And I keep telling people that as I understand that more and more deeply, it's almost as though someone has taken my skull and cracked it open like an egg. It just keeps expanding my understanding of what's going on in me and what's going on with others. You know, we literally tell each other exactly what's going on with us without realizing it. And, you know, we're busy doing the codependent handshake and blaming it on
yes,
others.
Yes, pointing the single
really
finger at somebody else.
We're really telling people exactly what's going on inside of us. So that was the theme for today so far.
Cool. Well, that's awesome. And, you know, there's maybe it'd be a good time with you speaking about that to share for those who haven't done the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop recently, just one of the ways that we explain that principle that the realities that show up in the mind always tell us more about the content of the mind than the world we think we're looking at. And I'll use an example of imagine that we have a young man who, as a kid, was in a small town, one-room school, and from kindergarten to 12th grade, he's got the same teacher. And his teacher is Mom, and his mom is just an awesome lady who just in particular loves art. And so she teaches him about how to do art with markers. And this young man becomes a world-famous marker artist, and all the way through school, he's had hours and hours and hours of fun training with Mom on using markers to produce art. And then we have a second young man who was in a similar situation, small town, Mom's the teacher, only this time Mom is kind of nasty, and she loves to prove to everybody how dumb her son is and how incompetent he is and how much trouble he is, which is simply a projection of what her power person did with her. And she uses markers too, but she tends to be a pretty good shot, and every time he steps out of line, she censors him out, makes sure everybody knows that he's out of line, pardon me, and throws a marker at him. And she's a pretty good shot. On at least two occasions, he's turned his head the wrong way, and he gets a marker in the eye and ends up in the hospital. So here are these two young men 30 years later sitting in the same room coming to a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, and I pull a marker out and go to write on the board. And one of these young men is in delight and joy, and the other one is in pain and trauma, each one saying, oh, markers, this is so cool. They are so wonderful, like it's the marker that causes what's going on inside of him. And the second young man is, oh, markers, painful, trauma. That just, you know, that's horrible. I don't know why I hate them so much, but I don't want anything to do with somebody who's using markers. And in each case, each one is languaging about the content of their own minds. All language comes from content. All perception comes from content. And kind of one of the bottom lines of this work is to recognize that if you have painful content about something that's going on about what appears to be going on in your world, your painful content is about what's in your mind. And when you take responsibility for that, you can start to change. You can start to access that content and remove it, as opposed to get lost and traumatized in it. And so to recognize that the man who's in joy about the marker, it's got nothing to do with the marker in my hand, except the marker is a stimulus. And the man who's in great pain and turmoil and can't get out of the room fast enough, it has nothing to do with the marker in my hand. And so when you realize that, if there's a particular category of people, you know, many people have trauma around men, and so, you know, men are the problem. That's why I'm upset and I want to get out of the room. And others are like, oh, man, that's why I want to be in the room. Cool, wonderful. Or women, or a particular skin color, or a particular religion, or. And all the while, everyone who's talking about that external, seemingly external event is simply describing it from their own content. The point being that if the mind is producing a reality based in some form of hostility or fear, then we're in an hallucination where the mind is using its content to produce pictures of what appears to be the external world, but they're not pictures of the external world at all. They're pictures, an outpicturing of our own content. It's just kind of one of the basic principles of the work that we're doing, and so thank you for bringing that one up. Dr. Tim, it's probably a good time for a reminder on that principle.
You're entirely welcome. It's of daily use to me in many, many ways.
Yeah, it's amazing. Working with people, I'm sure I know I get the experience all the time. People just sit there and tell me everything that's going on in the world, and when I repeat it back to them because they don't know what their speech is telling about themselves, they go, well, how did you know that? How did you know that? It's like, well, all I did was listen to your words. And then when somebody's in stress, you know, when in the codependency interdependence workshop, we introduced the concept of a power person, and the power person is a person who had more power over your life at some stage of your life than you did. And as long as you're functioning out of those power person dynamics, which most people never escape from in their whole lives, there are only really three behaviors possible, and the three behaviors are based on the dynamic and interaction with the power person and the dynamic shifts and changes according to the level of stress that you're under, which is one of the reasons for using the forgiveness process on a daily basis, because it keeps stress down to lower levels and helps to stay conscious and out of the power person dynamics. But if you look at anyone in your world, if you look at your own life and just take a look and notice that when there's no stress, you do whatever you did to get along with your power person. That's just your normal way of functioning. They call it your personality or your persona. It actually comes from the Greek. The word means mask. And then notice when stress starts to build, your persona changes. And the persona moves into a place where one does whatever they did to resist and survive with their power person. And then when they become ultra-stressed, they'll do whatever their power person did to them that they hated the most. That's just the simple mechanics of content of the mind. And if you recognize that, then the work is to wake up from that dynamic and to forgive, to remove the things that lock you into any form of automatic behavior so that you can come from a place of aliveness at every moment, a place of your true human beingness, that newborn love energy that you are, and watch how things change in your world and watch how the feelings that you have about everything changes. You know, you hear a lot of people say, well, I said, why do you do that? Well, I just felt like it. It's like, stop what you doing, what you feel like doing, wake up and begin to live by a set of principles that support you living as the true human being that you are, as the awesome presence of love that you are. And as you do that, everything begins to shift and change. So, Dr. Tim, we're so delighted you're on the team.
It's a pleasure
that you're there, and we're going
to within a week, I guess.
Sunday, next Sunday, we'll be there with bells on, absolutely.
Are you heading in on Saturday night?
Yeah, we'll probably leave here. I'm not sure about time. It depends how packing and all goes. We'll have been in St. Louis for 2 weeks. We have this beautiful, sunny, blue sky, a few puffy white clouds. It's absolutely gorgeous today. And So we'll be leaving here probably sometime Saturday morning, and I guess it's about a 4 or 5 hour drive up there. So we'll probably get there, again, depending how packing goes, sometimes mid to late afternoon, early evening. So I don't know if you're going to be anywhere in the territory at that point, but if you are, maybe we could get together and share a meal or something.
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be here waiting for you.
Well, we'll keep you posted on how our timing goes for departure from St. Louis, and look forward to seeing you and spending the week there. That's pretty awesome. So anybody that's in the Chicago area, actually Woodstock, Illinois, a little west of Chicago, not far from Rockford, we're going to start on Sunday morning with the Sunday service at Unity there in Woodstock, and then Sunday afternoon we'll do Why Is This Happening to Me Again. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, we'll be doing a series of free workshops all week. Come and join us. And then on Saturday, there is one workshop when we travel that we have a fee for, and we'll do that one Saturday. It's an all-day workshop. It'll start at about 8 in the morning, go through to sometime, usually between 5, 6, 6:30 in the evening. So if you want to crank your process up and get a whole new view of the tools, come and join us. We'll be there. You get to meet the celebrity Dr. Tim, and we'll get to have a little bit of playtime.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
Well, so are we. So are we. It'll be a delight to be there. So is there anything else you have to share with us before we check out what's happening? Is David with us, Jeannie? Is your mute button on, sweetie? Well, I hope we're still here. So, Dr. Tim, anything
else
to share?
Can you hear me? Can you not hear?
Oh, there you are. There you are. I got you now.
Yeah, David is on.
Oh, well, let's say hello to David and see how he'd be today. Hello, David. Are you with us, sir? Well, I guess not. In any event, if David is listening, we'll be... Oh, there he is. Hey, sir.
No, that was me saying maybe he stepped away from the phone.
Oh, yeah, possibly. Okay. Well, Jeannie, do we have any callers or any questions in the chat room?
Well, I'm hoping that the system's not what David dropped off, so I'm not sure whether he got kicked off or not. Pete said that he's had to redo like 4 or 5 times already just to get back on, and I actually got kicked out of the chat room too, so I don't know if it's messing up again or not, but anyway,
ouch.
We don't have any hands up. If we do have hands up, or, oh, one just went up, 970, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Hey, you guys, it is Carrie in Colorado.
Hey there, young lady, how are you?
I am dealing with my insanity.
Oh, well, how can we support you? That's cool.
You know,
another layer up on the surface. How awesome is that?
Well, I'll say, what you and Dr. Tim were talking about at the beginning of the show is just so apparent, and I feel like I'm going to throw up. I've done worksheets the last few days, and I fall asleep doing them. And, God, this is just,
you mean you go unconscious?
So intense. Yeah, I go unconscious. And as I'm getting ready to leave here, I had the realization the other day that the two people I work for and myself all had punishing power persons as children. And
yep.
So there's this whole dynamic happening. And I know there is nobody else. It's all my projection, you know. But it's been really a lot of intense things going on as I'm getting ready to depart here and feeling a lot of, you know, sort of less than friendly behavior and kind of blaming behavior coming towards me. So obviously that's inside myself. And I guess I'm just, I'd like to move this layer out. I don't want to carry it around anymore. It's just really intense. And
Was there alcohol in your home as a child?
Not in mine, but in the woman I work for. Well, you know, there was a little in my home. I guess my dad would sip on whiskey at night, but it wasn't like a typical alcoholic. It was more like he used it sort of medicinally, I think, to kind of calm down.
Medicinally, okay.
After drinking 13 cups of coffee in a day or something, you know. But I guess I'm just looking for the path, you know, how do I utilize the tools to keep moving this layer out? Because it's been a very intense couple of weeks. And, you know, not kind behaviors coming towards me. And, you know, I just keep saying to myself, okay, what's inside of me that I'm carrying around that is creating this resonance in my world or allowing it or inviting it?
Well, you know, the reason why I asked about alcohol is it's really common in alcoholic families for there to be a great deal of difficulty in saying goodbye and departing.
Mm.
And so you might want to look at doing some worksheets around issues of departure, saying goodbye, leaving, those sorts of things, because oftentimes in family systems with alcohol, that's a big issue and a tough one. So if there was alcohol in your family as a kid, it's very likely or very possibly that's a fairly common dynamic. And so as you're getting ready to leave, and if the folks that you're working for are involved in alcohol abuse, chances are they had power persons who were drinkers, and
right.
It's very likely that those issues are coming up for them, and not knowing how to say goodbye, not knowing how to part in a peaceful
mm-hmm.
way is a difficult thing for a lot of people, especially where there's alcohol.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. The woman I work for, I know, had a very punishing, very severely alcoholic mother, and she's the one who has more of the kind of strange energy. So, and I keep saying to myself, okay, stress is up for her too. Stress is up for both of them. And then the husband had sort of a oppressive mother, and so he kind of hides out. And so it's this whole, I can see this whole circle that we all are activating each other. And just helps just to say it, you know. And I've actually talked with one of my buddies on a regular basis. We've been texting and kind of helping each other process and stuff. But I guess I'm just feeling the intensity of this and just looking for, really wanting to clear it. And interesting that I keep falling asleep when I'm doing worksheets.
Yeah, well, you're processing unconsciousness.
Yeah.
And it could be that there's some genetic alcohol there that's breaking loose as you do your work around this. So how about a mind shifter?
Okay.
It's safe and healing. And my love and connection with others survives when I leave.
Okay.
Are you breathing?
I am.
So what does that feel like when you hold that thought? What kind of thoughts come forward?
You know, this train of thought that we're going on is just completely new to me. So I hadn't really looked at it in this way before. I was kind of more looking at the sort of feelings of punishment. So I guess it's just opening up a new compartment in my brain. And yeah, just giving me something different to look at. And I was sharing yesterday, too. I used to have the back of my legs and my butt would get tight when I would get this kind of stress. And now I'm just getting a knot in my stomach, which kind of feels like a good change to me. But definitely, you know, it's kind of moved to where I'm holding it in my body, to a different place.
Well, probably tied in with punishment with the legs and the butt. A lot of times that's where kids get hit. And as
right.
you're letting go of those layers, you know, nobody tightens their legs and their butt without their gut going into a grind. And so probably having cleared those layers, now comes the next subtler layer that's been unconscious because the other was so intense. And so probably just allowing yourself to access that tightness in your stomach, which is basically usually from fear. Fear of being abused and such, and perhaps fear of leaving. You know, a lot of times a person who had an alcoholic in their home, that parent was simply absent. You know, they were physically present, but they weren't actually there.
Right.
And so the dynamic of the parent who wasn't there, and, of course, you being there supporting them for over a year now, and getting ready to leave, it's going to bring up all the issues that they've never resolved around the fact that probably this young woman feels like she never had a mother. Her mother wasn't there.
Yep.
Being lost in alcohol, just not there. And so that's the leaving file, and here you are getting ready to leave. And so her stress is up big time. And as you can hold the space, you might just be able to open the space for all of those issues in you to soften in your stomach and move to trust and trust the presence of love. And by presencing that, open the space for her to do some healing around those issues.
Yeah, I've been really staying focused around that, but I also don't want to be faking it. You know, I want to be honestly standing, breathing in a loving space. And no, I'm not quite there yet. So I guess that's the reason for this call, to, you know, kind of help navigate through some of this and keep.
Yeah, sounds like your next piece of work. Sounds like you're right on track.
Cool.
That's
well, thanks for the mind shifter. Yep. And I'll do some breathing tonight, too. I seem to be able to go into still point really easily, and feels like maybe that would be a good thing to help move some
for
of
sure.
this nausea and knot in my stomach and kind of the physical blockage stuff.
I hear you.
Awesome.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right. We hold the space. Dr. Tim, you got any thoughts for Carrie?
Well, just exactly what you said. And I think that it's, I heard the change in your voice, Carrie, when he gave you the mind shifter. So I think you're going to find this more productive avenue.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Thanks, you guys. I'm so grateful for this work and having a path to really, truly clear these things. Just so grateful.
Well, we join you in that gratitude. We share the same gratitude, and we're delighted to be able to support you in this process, because I know that with the work you're doing, the book you've written, the book you're working on writing, I know that you're going to carry it to a whole other population in the world, which is just awesome. And so we're glad to be on your team and glad to have
Thanks.
You on Earth.
Thanks.
All right.
All right. We'll keep you posted. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Okay. Jeannie, do we have any other callers or anything?
We do. Area code 910. Area code 910, you're on the air. Who do we have?
This is Susan Darnell. Hi, guys.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Susan.
Okay, that's great. I don't have my headset with me. I'm just talking on the phone. I'm just doing an update.
You.
You know, last... Go ahead. Okay.
No, we can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Good. Okay. Last time I called, you know, I had had that incident with being told to shut up. And actually, it was like putting a voice to my thoughts, because the person I was with was, I was not hearing what I wanted to hear. Let's just say that. I was suppressing my feelings, my thoughts, my words. So I was being quiet. But I was wanting that person to be quiet and stop saying. So anyway, long story short, I've got this thing going on with my ear now, and it's been 4 weeks. It's my right ear, and it started out as a station tube dysfunction. Went to the doctor, and I went to a kinesiologist who does touch for health and chiropractic. He worked with me and worked with my jaw 2 times last week, and then he's sending me to an ear, nose, and throat because there's white patches on my eardrum. Now, I know everything that I think and my mind creates my body. I just wondered if you had any input around what to do, what would be best for me. I mean, I'm doing worksheets. I'm doing all of the above. I'm going to doctors. I've thought about, you know, I don't know.
So my thought would be to maybe work on a couple of mind shifters.
Okay.
And the mind shifters I'd work with would be, it's safe and healing for me to speak up.
Okay.
It's safe and healing for me to tell the truth and to hear the truth.
Okay.
And it's safe for others to resonate what I don't want to hear.
Okay.
So there might be some arenas that will be helpful.
That's great. That's perfect. I know that I went to Heartland in this relationship with Order on the Rocks. I've done a lot of worksheets, as you know, for the last, you know, well, since I got back. And I'm not upset normally. The person hasn't contacted me in 2 weeks, and I've done worksheets on abandonment and panic and fear and sadness and worthlessness and a lot of worksheets, and that's great. And I can honestly say, anybody out there, that worksheets absolutely clear in the moment, shift me to the next level. I know I went to see my children this weekend. My daughter, I spent the day Saturday with her, and at the end of the day, I was having this panic attack, and I just went in my room before bed, and I thought, I am not taking this to bed in my sleep. I just started doing worksheets, and I was texting one of my intensive buddies and just kept doing the worksheets, and I went to bed, slept like a baby, so good. Then I got to spend Sunday with my grandbaby that's going to be 6 months. I got to babysit for the first time. It's my third time getting to see him. And the joy that comes from getting to visit with him, seeing my son, just it's beautiful. Life is good. And I was driving back home yesterday because it's about a four-hour trip, and I was thinking to myself, I am so happy. And in the past, having something like this happen would have derailed me and sent me into this despair. And joy, it was just resonating from me, and I was thinking out loud how much I appreciate and love this work and how grateful I am that I made the initiative to go to that intensive last year, even though I wasn't clear on what was going to happen. I know it is an intensive, believe me. I said to myself many times, so this is what an intensive is. It's intense. But I can say I'm looking forward to this summer going back and doing the Laws of Living. And I'm doing all of the above, so I'm just building the brain cells.
Well, you know, that's awesome that you can be in the middle of a situation, and this is just not normal, but it's one of the fruits of your work. It's not normal as people look at things in the world. You're going through a situation that in your mind is, this is terrible, this is painful, this is, and yet here you are experiencing that as a human being. It's experiencing that from the perspective of love. You know, when you select to do your work, it doesn't mean that there aren't going to be challenges and traumas that happen. But in the midst of those challenges and traumas, you can experience your human life. You can experience functioning as a true human being, as love, even though everything isn't the way you want it to be. And that's, you know, that's one of the ultimate pieces of fruit of this work, is that you get to experience yourself as you were designed to. And love is it. So congratulations. That's the fruit of your work. You're right on track and, you know, in process, as with all of us.
That's great. I appreciate that feedback. And I would like to ask a question. We had at our Mind Shifter group last week. We were listening to the Getting the Stress You Need. And when you got to the part, which we were listening for the second time through, and when we got to the part about the love exchange, I stopped the tape. We'd already done it, all but one person, and she had done it with me earlier, and we did a love exchange. And one of the, she's fairly new to the work, doing worksheets, great girl, she asked, why is it so easy for me to send love and give love in this exchange, and it's so difficult for me to receive the love? And I answered the best I could, but I told her that I would call into the radio show and ask the question so that you could answer, and then we could listen to the radio show.
normally that's a pretty, you know, of course, not knowing her and tapping directly into her energy, and you might have her call and ask the question on the show, you know, usually that sort of thing has got to do with, I don't deserve it. So, you know, I'm supposed to be loving, that's what they told me, but every time I turned to someone who was supposed to be loving toward me, I got a message that I didn't deserve it, that I wasn't worthy, that there was something wrong with me or something wrong with the world or you know, whatever the variations on the theme are. So, you know, to give her, perhaps get her to work with a mind shifter of, and I've found this one to be just so healing for so many people, is I deserve the presence of love just because the Creator put the breath of life in me. You look at how many people really believe in their heart of hearts, and this happens especially in religious circles, really believe that what's supposed to happen to them next is the other shoe's supposed to drop. They're supposed to be punished. They're supposed to be in terror and trauma all the time because something's going to go wrong. And that's become almost part of many religious dogmas. And the truth is, you deserve to be loved. You deserve to function as and experience everybody around you as love. That's our birthright. And most of us have been ripped off for our birthright. So part of this work is reestablishing our birthright, and that is to simply experience yourself and everyone around you as love continuously. Father, mother, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, neighbor, new friend, old friend, that we deserve to function out of that just because that's what human life is. And because there's not much human life left on the planet, that's not what most people get to experience. It's not what most people expect. They expect something else, and then, of course, they get what they expect, even if it never happens. You know, as Dr. Tim started the show out saying that, you know, the words we use describe the output of our minds. So, you know, I've seen people who are in the presence of so much love and support, and yet their mind is outputting how they just never get supported and they don't deserve love and they deserve to be beat up. And they're just living in the terror and trauma that's totally and completely an internal experience. And they lose the awareness of who they're designed to function as and how they're designed to function.
That was my response to her, that for me it was that I didn't feel worthy. And she that resonated for her, too. We will listen to this, and I will give her that mind shifter. And I did encourage her to call in. Sometime I think, I know one time I played a radio show at the group after Dr. Tim talked about having his group listening to it. And when I did, I noticed a couple more people started listening on a weekly basis. So I think sometime just playing it at the group exposes exactly what goes on and makes it more comfortable to come into the radio show for people that are not familiar with it. So I thank you for your answer, and with that I will pass to somebody else and let them talk. Thank you.
Okay, much love and blessings, and thanks for the call. And yes, there are actually support groups now that are starting. There's one in Ocala, and they purposely meet from 1 till 2 o'clock, and they start out the support group with the radio show. So they listen to the show together. If they have questions, call in. And by the way, if you folks in Ocala are there today, I don't remember which day it is that you do this, we'd love to hear from you. And yeah, it's a powerful way to do a support group. And of course, picking topical shows with the hundreds we have in the archives can also be another way to do it rather than just doing the live show. But live. Fabulous.
All right, Jeannie.
All right, Jeannie. Area code 828, you're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
828, welcome.
Hi, this is Magda from Missouri.
Miss Magda, howdy, neighbor.
I'm fine. And how are you all?
We are well and enjoying a gorgeous day in St. Louis.
Wonderful, and we have a gorgeous day here, too. Well, today seems to be the day for mind shifters. I am actually calling in to ask you for a mind shifter. And before I forget to say this, perhaps it would be good for those who are new to the program today to explain what the mind shifter is, the function of it, and how to do it. So I'll ask for my mind shifter, and then I'll that I often let you do that.
Fabulous.
So this is before, and here it is again. When my sweetheart, Chuck, is in some upset and needs some space, it triggers for me my feelings of abandonment and rejection and isolation and being left out and all that. And I've worked on this before, and I obviously need more. I'm hearing some others talking. Okay, I'll just keep going. Anyway, I would like a mind shifter to deal with this issue. I've done some worksheets over time, did more today. And I think I need my thing open.
Cool. So how about something really simple like, I absolutely love it when Chuck brings up my abandonment.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And and I'm ready to be done with it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Fabulous. Thank you.
You know, abandonment is a perceptual reality that comes from the mind. It doesn't exist in the external world. You know, some people, if you say, well, I'm leaving now, and out you go, they go, oh, I've got some space, it's quiet, this is so sweet. And other people go, oh, my God, abandoned, I've been left alone, oh, how terrible is this? And so, you know, and oftentimes, you know, it ties back in with that that issue that we were talking about with Carrie. I don't know, was there alcohol in your family when you were a kid?
No.
No?
Okay. No. There
other addictions?
Oh, addiction to rage. Mm-hmm. Both on my mother and father's side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I didn't.
So that would be where I'd go with. Say again?
I didn't quite understand why. I heard what you said to Carrie, and I didn't understand why it would be difficult for people from an alcoholic home to say goodbye.
I'm not sure the exact dynamic behind it. I just know that that's one that shows up a lot with people who are from alcoholic homes. I think it may have to do with the fact that, you know, the parent literally wasn't there. They were physically there, but they weren't there. So it all ties in with abandonment, leaving, you know, the pain of a parent leaving. You know, parent comes home, child is all excited. Oh, boy, here's daddy. He's home from work. And then, with no goodbye, with no nothing, after the fifth shot of scotch, dad's gone.
Oh,
and
yes.
the pain of that, not having a parent there, the anticipation of, I love my daddy or I love my mommy, and oh boy, here they come, and I get hugged, and it's wonderful. And then all of a sudden, 2 hours later, they've left. And there's so much trauma around that leaving, because oftentimes, you know, by the time the fifth shot of scotch has gone down, the inhibitors for rage and abuse are knocked out of the brain. So not only has dad or mom left, but now they're verbally, mentally, emotionally beating up on me. And where's my daddy? You know, I knew my daddy was this man who came home from work and loved me and hugged me. But where did my daddy go? He's left. He's not here. This isn't my daddy. This looks like his body, but it's not my daddy.
Yeah.
And so the pain, I mean, just the repeated, for many people, the daily trauma and pain of that is monumental. I remember working with a woman who had major issues around just the reverse of people leaving, but people coming home. And when someone would come home, if she wasn't expecting them, she would go into a fit. And finally, after doing some worksheets around that particular issue, what she discovered was that when she was a kid, she was from a very large family, and she was the smallest of the kids, and dad was a drunk, and dad would go up from work and get drunk and come home drunk. And half of the time he was a happy, generous drunk, you know, all kinds of gifts to the kids, just lavish the kids with gifts. And the other half of the time, he was an angry, vicious, abusive drunk. And I can remember her tearful recall when she got in touch with something that had been totally, completely dissociated from, where her father literally lit into her. Now, she, as a kid, she would get, when dad would come home, the other kids would, the bigger ones, would push her out to see whether dad was a happy drunk and was going to have gifts for them, or whether dad was a rageful drunk and was going to beat somebody up, and she'd be the one who got beat up. And I can remember her tearfully telling me about her dad literally beating her to the point where she actually thought she would die if he hit her again. And that dissociated memory she lived with until she was in her 50s, there underneath the surface. So for her, it was when somebody comes in the house, that's a story that I actually tell in one of the workshops, just, you know, the pain of a young girl actually thinking that her father, who's a big man, a powerful man, is literally going to beat her to death. How crazy is that? So there's, for many people, there's pains on both ends of the spectrum. And, of course, as you suggested, you know, sharing the mind shifter tool, the idea of the mind shifter is to take that thought, divide a page in two, write the thought on the left side of the page, and then write everything up, everything that comes up in response to that thought on the right side of the page. So if it's safe and healing for people to abandon me, then on the right-hand side of the page, when I wrote that, I'd write, well, you're crazy. That's ridiculous. It's safe. And so I write on the left-hand side of the page, it's safe and healing for people to abandon me. Well, that's just absolutely nuts. I mean, I've been abandoned all my life. I can remember in my first, in my second, in my childhood, it's safe and healing for people to abandon me. Well, that, you know, so the idea is to kind of get those brain cells, because the mind works by the law of resonance. As Dr. Tim started the show out with speaking about how our words always tell us about the content of our minds, life tends to be like a mind shifter. And if we're always looking and keeping conscious of our words will tell us what's going on that unconscious level. And so as you look at what dumps out on the right side of the page, and what we suggest most people do when they write a mind shifter is create a space of at least an hour, perhaps 2 hours, to write that mind shifter in a place where they're totally isolated, phones are off, they're totally in their own space, and they can just deepen, deepen, deepen the contact with that dissociated mind. And then when you've done that brain dump, you get to look at all the dynamics that go on under the surface that create feelings that we're not aware of. You know, in the Aramaic, and it's the only language I know of that has such a dynamic, in the Aramaic, there's a suffix that they add to words that indicate that whatever that word represents is an unconscious dynamic that's affecting perception, decisions, and behavior. And so if under the surface is an issue of abandonment because, you know, on his fifth shot of scotch, dad just kind of disappeared. It wasn't my father anymore. There's been a lot of pain about that. Then when I write that mind shifter and that surfaces, then I can start to do worksheets around the desire for dad to be there, the desire for dad to be part of my life, the desire for dad to be caring, gentle, respectful. And if the parent went through a personality shift due to alcohol or rage or what have you, that's abandonment. Where did my parent, where did my loving parent go? And so yes.
When you were explaining that the disappearance of the parents by the fifth drink of scotch, I really resonated with that, because it wasn't alcohol that took my father away. It was rage. And it happened in a split second, and it's the same pain.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same pain. Just, wow, that's amazing. So thank you for being so so thorough with explaining that. It really makes sense to me. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
And to recognize, and this is something that we cover when we get into the codependence work, to recognize that whenever somebody uses a drug of any kind, whether it's rage or alcohol or cocaine or legal prescriptions or whatever, whenever anybody uses a drug that affects the perceptual mind, they live in a world that is only between their ears, and they have no contact, no interaction with the truth of what's going on around them, i.e., this is a little five-year-old child who's just wanting to play with daddy. Daddy's had a long day at work, and the child climbing over my back after I've told her 14 times to stop, and all she wants is the love of her daddy. If that resonates my rage, because I have a power person dynamic of dad would rage if I got in his way, then the person who does that, you know, the 14th time the child climbs over the back, this drug, rage, comes up, and they literally enter into a loveless world which exists only between their ears. And love cannot enter there, and they're gone. And to have compassion for people who are locked in that position and to be able to hold the space gives a possibility that the active presence of love can return and someone can move out of that drugged state. But it's like, you know, virtually everybody in our culture is addicted. Mm-hmm. And rage is one of the most common drugs. Actually, busyness, you know, that's another way that parents leave. Another drug that parents use is busyness. Not available to the child. The child wants me to be there, and to be there means available and functioning as love. And if the parent comes home, and because the parent has too much trauma to deal with, I think probably the most common drug on the planet is busyness. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a little poem that I like to share when I think about busyness. I call it the Ode to Busyness, and it goes like this. My candle burns at both ends. It cannot last the night. But, oh, my foes, oh, my friends, it sheds a lovely light. And the person who's so drugged on their busyness has no idea that they're addicted to that. And if they're burning the candle at both ends, they may not be as bright as they think they are. But a parent can leave with that busyness, and the child goes, where's mom, where's dad? They're gone. And that's experienced by the child as abandonment. Any drug will do. Of course, alcohol creates another level of it, but it's the same thing. And so that's probably one of the most common drugs on the planet, busyness. And then the granddaddy of codependence and the granddaddy of drugs is hostility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Michael. This is very worthwhile and rewarding. And I will work with this one, because I am ready to let go of it.
Awesome. I support you in being free of that pain and that fear. And mm-hmm. and I want to acknowledge you. You know, I don't remember just what your first year was at Heartland, but it's, what, 6 years ago?
I think it's five.
Five?
Yep.
Five years ago. You've been there every summer since, and you have just hung in and done your work. You and Chuck came and spent 6 months at Heartland to do the work exchange program to support Heartland and to do another level of your work. And, you know, it's interesting how many people won't stick around to work long enough to build the brain cells for the conversation we just had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hear how you, having done that, the benefit that you get from it is, oh, okay, that's what that means. And it can just take you into a whole other level. And most people have no clue. It's kind of like, you know, well, I got $5 in 5 minutes. Tell me everything you know. I want to know this all yesterday. And it's a big process of building brain cells.
It is. It is. And I understand that concept of building brain cells more and more each day. And
I understand.
And I want to acknowledge.
All right, dear heart.
I want to acknowledge you and the work, because for those who are listening, if it wasn't for this work, Chuck and I would not still be together. So thank you for that.
Well, we join you in having a 5-H relationship, wondrous time in your world, and it's time for us to close the show. So thank you all for being here. Bring a Stranger tomorrow. See you in Chicago or Woodstock, Illinois next Sunday. Blessings and thanks. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.earthangelsradio.com. whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.